according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 72 disciples returned rejoicing and said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. Jesus said, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. At that very moment, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Especially on this Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, we should ask for Our Lady's help, so we could just look to her for a moment, that she would pray for us, her children. And let us pray together. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Well, being a feast day, we probably shouldn't be using these readings, but thanks for indulging my ignorance. And the readings are so perfect for Our Lady of the Rosary, so I think she arranged that for the rest of the church. But we hear in the Gospel of Jesus rejoicing. It's worth just staying before that for a moment. Jesus rejoicing. Right? I mean, what is the posture of all of heaven? Thousands of angels, myriads of archangels, cherubim and seraphim, crying aloud, shouting and saying, and all of heaven is rejoicing before the Trinity. And here we see Jesus humbly taking his place among all of the heavenly host and all of his little children who are us, and rejoicing with us. And then to know that, who is it that causes him to rejoice? His own apostles. And so we also can cause Jesus to rejoice. Such a sweet thought. And how do they cause him to rejoice? Because they are little. In their littleness, they cause Jesus to rejoice. We see the wonderful things that he has done, the authority that he has granted them. We heard in the first reading from Baruch that the people had given themselves over to demons and had followed them, and were falling apart. And there's no reason that we should have authority over demons. And that's a very sad picture for us. It's worth dwelling on that in our prayer for a moment, not too long, for a moment, to recognize there's no reason that we should have authority over demons. When we gave ourselves over to demons by so many of our sins and vices, and when we cooperate with them, that should be it. But Jesus, as a pure gift, has given us that authority so that we can experience freedom. But he says also, don't rejoice because of that authority. Rejoice because you are little children before the Father. Rejoice because of your childlikeness. Your names are written in heaven. We have a Father. And Jesus rejoices because the Father has revealed all of this to the childlike. I just finished reading this beautiful book that I can't recommend highly enough. It's called Strong and Weak. You can imagine why I love this. And the author does this wonderful job of showing that these two things, so a lot of times we think of strong and weak as being on one axis, weak on this end, strong on this end. And if we are weak, we are not strong. If we are strong, we are not weak. But what this author proposes and also shows through scripture is it really forms four quadrants. We have weakness on this axis, more, what would this be? Reverse now. More weak and less weak. And we have strength on this axis, more strong and less strong. And so one can be in the strong and weak quadrant. That's the place of flourishing. There's strength without weakness. Now I'm all reversed now. Strong and anyway, there's strength without weakness, and there's a weakness without strength, but strong and weak. That's the sweet spot. And then he also develops the synonyms authority for strength and vulnerability for weakness. The best authority is wielded with vulnerability. Not that we're necessarily sharing all of our sins with everybody, but we need to know our weakness. We need to know our vulnerability. And when authority is lived with vulnerability, then it becomes a place of flourishing for the one doing that, and also for those who are receiving that. So anyway, he develops all this. He looks at each of the quadrants separately, and neither weak nor strong is absent. So he looks at fatherhood, for example, the father who is strong and weak as opposed to the father who is merely authoritarian or merely lax and a pushover, or the father who is absent, and all of the effects that that has on children. Anyway, lots of beautiful things there, but the point to bring that back to the scriptures, strong and weak, authority with vulnerability. And so Jesus has granted authority to us over demons, a great authority over spiritual beings. But that doesn't make us all grown up and no longer in need of him. We remain little children. And that's the part that we're most, as soon as we get that authority, or we take hold of that authority, we have a way of leaving that vulnerability behind. That's why I think it's important. Jesus brings it out. I bring it out. I have to bring it out for my own sake. And that we don't forget that. But we don't get lost in vulnerability either. We do have that authority. And that's the sweet spot. That's where the Lord wants to keep us. Authority, we've been given a tremendous gift. We have an incredible dignity. Our names are written in heaven. We are claimed. We belong to the Father. And also, little children, childlike. So another way to look at that is, you know, as we grow up, we gain independence from our parents. That's an authority. But the proper spiritual proportion is that as we gain independence from our parents, we gain dependence on God. So we should become more childlike before the Heavenly Father, even as we become more adult-like before others or in our interactions in the world. If we remain with that childlike heart before the Heavenly Father, then all of these things fit into place. So one of the things we heard at the also at the end of the prophet Baruch, he says, "He who brought these calamities upon you will bring you everlasting joy with your salvation." And this is part of the dynamic of the Old Testament is, well, lots of things, but Jesus is, sometimes he allows calamities to befall us so that we don't lose track of our vulnerability. so we don't lose track of our littleness and our need for the Father. But he doesn't want to leave us there in victimhood. He also empowers us. But then again, when we get that authority, we tend to just leave behind all of those weaknesses, to hold on to both. And that's what he's leading them through. And then, of course, Jesus witnesses this perfectly in himself, right? He is the crucified and the King of Kings. And he demonstrates also the place of flourishing for us, to truly be in all of our dignity and authority as Christians, even with authority over demons, and also the crucified, the one who is vulnerable, who is little, who needs a father. And we need also, of course, a mother, which we celebrate today on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And we have a beautiful image in Blessed Bartolo Longo, who is the sort of dubbed patron of Our Lady of the Rosary by John Paul II in his letter on the Rosary. Bartolo Longo, who gave himself over to demons, who made himself even a priest of Satan, and then it's amazing what lingered in him as that seances and whatever, black magic, as his obedience to demons, cooperation with demons, led him down to a place of deeper and deeper depression and psychosis and, I mean, just all this interior turmoil. What echoed in his mind was the voice of his Father. And come back to God, come back to the Church, echoed in his mind the voice of his Father when he was able to be childlike and have a father. And then he got in touch with his professor, who connected him with a Dominican, who heard his confession, and even still, some depression, some struggle, and then these words of the Dominican echoed in his mind. It's beautiful how those words stick. Whoever spreads devotion to the Rosary will be saved. And something clicked there, and he started working actively to pray the Rosary and to spread the Rosary, and became more and more free. And then he really went from being a priest of Satan to a fool for Christ. I mean, truly little and childlike. As he knocked on doors and tried to tell people about the Rosary, and eventually bought this ugly picture that and this, like, shack to put it in to celebrate this feast. And then it was a complete catastrophe. Everything was rained out. Nobody showed up for the feast day. And he did it again the next year, you know, just on this childlike faithfulness and just confidence that if I remain a little child and just tell everybody about my mother, everything will be all right. And this sweet trust. And then eventually the bishop, of course, saw what was happening and thought, well, this is a pretty good idea. And so took it upon himself to take that worm-eaten picture and try to restore it. It's been restored by three popes and several bishops, and they still put it really high on the altar. Yeah. In the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii. It's not the most inspiring image for me, but knowing the story behind it and the devotion that led to it being raised on this beautiful Baroque high altar in this gorgeous Basilica shrine from the little shack, and the little fervent devotion of Bartolo Longo is so touching, to be in that shrine and to see all of that. So we really have his example to look to as well. So that invitation to take hold of who we are, amazing that we have been chosen, children of God, children of Mary, children of God, children of Mary. And so as we come before her and him, to be fed, simply fed by these sacred mysteries, fed in all of our needs, and then empowered to wield that authority, to bless others, to build them up, and in that way also to spread the kingdom of God.